and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Interestingly, in the previous chapter, somebody else bound him with new ropes and he broke out of them. They didn't get that memo. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Interestingly, so far, we don't really see any interaction between the Philistines and Samson. Like, did they see him and just run away? Or did they not even come in the room when they saw that he broke free? Verse 15, though, says, and she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So tonight we are going to look at the deadly power of sin, and I apologize, my font here didn't transfer over. This is not something new that I'm going to talk about, actually, but it is something that is true. And the reason that I can talk to you about this is that I'm familiar with sin, and I suspect that you are as well. This is why we started off with this Bible quiz, just to keep it light a little bit, but we are going to get serious now. So sin is failing to keep the moral law of God. So by our actions, by our attitudes, and by our very nature. Sin is the wrong things that we do. So lusting and lying, stealing things, evil thoughts, disobeying God's commands. But sin is also the good things that we don't do. And so not acting in compassion, just like the Good Samaritan did, that is also sin. Sin is all around us. It's in us. We are tempted to sin all of the time, and we have a sin nature in us that we continue to struggle with as Christians until we are with Jesus in glory. But you know, when we read this account of Delilah, I mean, as I read it to you, don't you think like I do that who in their right mind would fall for this trap? They're going to come and overpower him. Yeah, Delilah, why don't you tie me up? And you know, he thinks he can outsmart them. But then suddenly he's outsmarted and he is given in to this temptation. And you know, we think, yeah, how could this guy be so stupid? But we need to realize that we are Samson, that all of us are Samson, and that Delilah is the desire of our hearts that will end up being the death of us if we don't come to Jesus for life. And one of the most powerful and deadly areas of sin is to do with sex. Sexual immorality and sexual perversion. And it happened back in the time of the judges, and it still happens in our day today, and it is affecting countless lives today. Now, let me be clear. Sex is a good thing. No, actually, it's a great thing. God designed sex. It wasn't thought up by some creepy guy in a shady motel. The devil didn't come up with it. Sex was designed by God, and it is a beautiful thing. But it has become distorted and perverted in our culture. And this has been so hugely amplified because of the internet in our day and age. So this will give you something to talk about when you get home around the table. But let me just give you this quote. Levi Lesko, our family has given a book to read called Swipe Right. And he talks about the life and death power of sex and romance. And he writes this. He said, in so many ways, the world is better because of all the tech upgrades. And you know, for those of you who aren't on computers or anything, God bless you. You don't, the tech upgrades really just means the technology that's all around us. But with this great power, and there's a lot of good in technology for sure, but with this great power has come the ability to break a man's bones and by means of a harlot reduce his life to a crust of bread, from Proverbs 6:26. The internet has brought porn and apps. For those of you who don't know, apps are the computer programs. The internet has brought porn and apps that make a casual sexual encounter as easy as swiping to the right. Dating apps have poured gasoline onto what was already a hookup culture. So again, I just want to remind us, sex is good. Our sexual drives are good and given by God, but they need to be used in the proper context. Tim Challies, he's a blogger, an author, he used to be a pastor. He's got a great blog. He wrote an article, just seemed to post it recently, 10 ugly and updated numbers about pornography use in 2017. And so what he said was, we have all these statistics, but they're a bit outdated. And so he looked at some studies. These are all credible studies carried out in 2016 or 2017. And these are three of the numbers. So 4.6 billion. In 2016, people watched 4.6 billion hours of pornography at just one website. That's 524,000 years of porn, or if you will, around 17,000 complete lifetimes. Why is this important? So many people are using so much porn today that we can't even calculate it. But understanding how much is consumed at just one site can at least help us to see that this problem is nothing less than an epidemic in our culture. The next number is 11. This is the age at which the average child has already been exposed to explicit content on the internet. 93% of boys and 62% of girls are exposed to internet-based pornography during their adolescent years. And why is this important for us? That as parents, we are nothing short of negligent if we don't take steps to protect our children from being exposed to this. So I'd encourage you, parents, grandparents, this is an important thing. Last number there, 96%. 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral in their view of pornography. So 17% talk about porn in a positive way, that it's a good thing. 43% of that 96 would talk about it in an accepting way, as if it's just a reality in the world that we live. And then 36% don't even consider the morality of it at all. And so that only leaves a tiny minority who consider it a negative thing. And so why is this important? Early exposure to pornography and the negligence of parents to adequately address it leaves young adults believing that pornography is normal and acceptable, and its use is unremarkable. It's just what we do these days. So, you know, I could go on, and these things are discouraging to look up and think about, talk about. I could go on, but there's deadly power in sexual sin. So let's look back at the text from Judges chapter 16, and we're going to see this powerful temptation. So Delilah is Samson's latest love interest. He seems to have a thing for women that he shouldn't get entangled with, and it was forbidden for Israelites to marry outside of their nation. But Samson didn't go along with that. This didn't stop Samson. So he had a failed marriage to a woman from Timnah. Then he had a city gate shattering experience with a prostitute from Gaza. And now he sets his love on a woman from the Valley of Sorek. His desire for her results in three damaging effects, three deadly powerful effects of sin. And the first is this: seduce. That's what it says. Sin has a seductive power. Look at verse 5 again of Judges 16. So these lords of the Philistines, they came to Delilah and they asked her to seduce him and see where his great strength lies. They say, "We want you to overpower him. We want you to bind him, and we want to humble Samson." And if you read in the chapter just before, Samson takes a fresh jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 men with it. And so these lords of the Philistines, they're like, "We want you to stop this, Delilah. Can you find out how we can overpower Samson?" And so they give her an offer that she can't refuse, 1,100 pieces of silver. And if you read earlier in Judges 3, it talks about the five lords of the Philistines. And so this would have been 5,500 pieces of silver for Delilah. She was bought out. And so she was to seduce Samson. Other versions of the Bible use the words entice, or lure, or persuade, or one simply just says trick him. Now, it is not a sin to be seduced or tempted. The devil, the world, and even our own selves, our sinful nature, tempts us to give in to our desires, but this is not sin. An example of this from James chapter 1. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' So God doesn't tempt us. But, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So we're tempted by our own desires, the devil tempts us, and also the world, the system of thought out in the world also tempts us. But you know, if sin wasn't desirable for us, then we wouldn't sin. But we get seduced, we get tricked, and we trade the temporary pleasure of sin for true satisfaction in what God has for us. Sorry, just thinking, like a broccoli shake, I would not be tempted to drink that smoothie, so that has no pull on me. But sin is desirable for us, and so we are tempted to engage. You know, Jesus himself was tempted. We talked about this morning. He never sinned, though. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "We do not have a high priest," this is referring to Jesus, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus knows what we're going through. Now, Delilah was to seduce Samson to see what the source of his strength was. Sin seduces us to give in to temptation, weakening us from being effective in our Christian lives. Now, don't think that this temptation for Samson, this seducing, was a one-time thing. At one point, he was walking through a vineyard, and for a guy who wasn't supposed to be drinking, he shouldn't be doing that. He had no reason to be there. And the honey that he got out, again, from the lion's dead body, how did he get that honey out? He had to use his hands. But remember, he wasn't supposed to touch a dead body as a Nazarite. You see, he was already compromising before he met up with Delilah and revealing his secret to her. And so Delilah seduces him. And this is often how it happens. Just it's little by little, we compromise, and then we will surely fall. And now another effect of sin is not only to seduce, but to subdue. That's what it says. Samson was being seduced so that he could be subdued. So look at verse 5 again. The lords of the Philistines came to Delilah. They said to her, "Seduce him, see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him." And then verse 6 says, "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please, honey, tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound, that one could subdue you.'" Not very subtle of Delilah. And then we have this charade where Delilah asks Samson what the source of his strength is, and three times Samson lies and easily escapes what is meant to overpower him. But then in verse 15 it says, "And Delilah said to him, 'How can you say I love you?'" How genuine is that? "When your heart is not with me, you have mocked me these three times. You have not told me the truth here." And when she pressed him hard with her words, day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. Sin is very persuasive, right? And it will not relent until we wear down and give in to temptation. The Christian life is a continual battle. Oh yes, there is victory, but we can never put our guard down because we will continue to be tempted. Sin and Satan want to overpower us, to subdue us, so that we will become ineffective and unfruitful as Christians for him. That we would walk in our flesh and not walk in the Spirit, but we are to do the opposite of that. Delilah seduced Samson, which ended up in him being subdued. And this is the sad part of this. Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up again, for he has told me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands." This was payday for Delilah. "She made him sleep on her knees. She called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to torment Samson. His strength had left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' He awoke from his sleep and said, 'I'm just going to go out the same as I have been doing.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." How sad. So after being seduced, Samson was seized and he was bound and he was made a slave. He thought he could go on the same as before, but he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. He was taken by the deadly power of sin. Verse 21, "And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison." Sin is serious. Sin will keep you out of the family of God, bound in slavery to sin. If you don't know the freedom of forgiveness in Christ here tonight, look at the cross where Jesus paid the debt of your sin, sin that would separate you from a holy God, and embrace him by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ and being set free. And last weekend, we just celebrated this resurrection power. Jesus has the power to set free. He is risen and he has conquered sin and death. Now, as Christians, we can also be slaves to sin. Jesus wants us to walk in freedom, to confess our sin and know that he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us. This doesn't mean that we won't struggle, with temptation in our lives, but what it does mean is that when we do fall, that his grace is enough for us. Jesus would say in John 8, he was talking to a crowd, he said, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. So if the Son," they're referring to himself, Jesus, "if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed." Seduced, subdued, and made a slave. That was the deadly power of sin in Samson's life. And through Delilah's influence. And the same is true for us. We can be trapped by the deadly power of sin. Now, I'm not intending in any way to personify somebody like Delilah in your life, but this is the way that Satan will get us to stumble and fall, that we will be seduced. We will be tempted in our lives with the goal of subduing us and to enslave us into sin. You know, I could end here with these points, but the story isn't over. And I want to end up with some real hope. You could be dabbling in or enslaved to some sin, sexual sin or some other sin, but I want you to know that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, how far you've gone, that you can still experience God's love, his forgiveness, and his power. That is the truth. Verse 22, what a great verse in the whole of the Bible. "But the hair of Samson's head began to grow again after it had been shaved." What a mercy. Now, everything didn't go back to the way it was. Samson, he never did get back his sight. He was still a slave. But as his hair grew, he became stronger in God, and God graciously used him more powerfully in his weakness than he had in the rest of Samson's life. Samson was brought out to entertain guests. We didn't read this, but further on in the chapter, he was brought out to entertain the guests in the temple of Dagon, and he literally brings the house down by pushing over the supporting pillars. It says in verse 30 that, "So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life." Now, Delilah, she disappears from the Bible. This is the only chapter in the Bible where she's mentioned. She isn't talked about again, but amazingly, Samson shows up in the great chapter, Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith. I mean, think of Samson's life, but there he is mentioned. And he is remembered as one who is made strong in weakness. It is not too late in our lives. There is hope. So let me finish quickly by getting really practical. There's lots of things that I could say. Levi Lesko is helpful here again. Maybe for you, it's time to close the computer, or maybe destroy it. Cancel your cable. Stop that subscription to Netflix. Walk out of the movie. And he says they will probably even refund your ticket price if you ask. Well, probably not. Delete the contact from your phone. Break up with that person, change schools, or quit your job if you have to. Pluck out the eye, cut off the hand. Jesus actually said that. And what he meant is do something drastic to your sin, or sin will do something drastic to you. I know this all sounds way intense, and maybe it is, but know this, you can't have a healthy soul and mainline toxic substances. They don't mix. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. So there may be some radical measure that me just talking about this with you that you think, yeah, I need to do that. You can't play around with sin. It is deadly powerful. And you could talk to somebody. Somebody could help you. We call that accountability, because this is serious. Another thing, though, the Word of God is effective in the battle. And we just heard about this morning again. Jesus quotes the Word of God to the devil. And so what verses from the Bible are you going to use in your fight against sin? You know, I've memorized some verses that have helped me. What are the verses that you have? You take the time to be in the Bible. You can't say, oh, I'm struggling so much with sin, I need help, but you're neglecting God's Word. Psalm 119 is helpful here. Verse 9 to 11 says, how can a young man or a young woman keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The last thing I'll say is that one day you might be blindsided by temptation, and the only thing that you can do is to run. An example of this is Joseph in the Old Testament. Potiphar's wife grabbed him by his jacket to be intimate with him, and Joseph took off. He left his jacket with her, and he ran. He did not want to be seduced and subdued. And you may have to do the same thing. And 2 Timothy 2:22 is helpful here. It says, "So flee, run away from youthful passions, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So by God's grace, I pray that you would experience victory over the deadly power of sin in your life. And also pray for those. Pray for our young people. So many pressures that they're facing in life at this time in our world's history. I'm going to close in prayer. We'll just end with my prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We're reminded from this account of Samson and Delilah of just the Delilah of desire in our own lives, and how, just like Samson, we so easily fall into temptation. It would seem like who in their right mind would do this, but Lord, we do this all the time. We would choose the pleasure of sin for a moment over our satisfaction in Christ. So Lord, I pray that you would help us. We really do need your help, and I pray for anybody in this room who is in some serious sin, Lord, that they would seek out help. We need you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, but also sometimes just that physical person, some person that they could go to, that any of us could go to talk to, really brings that sin to the forefront, where we can confess and we can find forgiveness and freedom. Father, we would pray for families in our community. May the sin of exposure to pornography and the internet, Lord, may you please help that to stop, that we would be protected and guarded, that we would make wise decisions about the use of our time, that we wouldn't have opportunity to let the evil one have a foothold in our lives. I pray that, Lord. So thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. May we be equipped to fight against temptation in our lives and know that it is a battle, but we know that the victory is yours, Lord. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.